found in the book of Ephesians. We're studying through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I knew coming into this particular book that the sixth chapter was going to be a slow chapter to get through, because all of the book has been leading to this particular chapter. And the theme has been the same right through, without the eyes of the Spirit in Revelation, you will not right away see the common language being expressed to us about love, because this is what makes this whole thing work. And it is right through, and it is there for those who are able to tap into it and understand the importance of it as it relates to our spiritual walk. And last week we looked at verse 14, where it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, last week we talked a little bit about what righteousness was, but before I go on to verse 15, I need to help us explore what righteousness is. We know that righteousness is a right standing that we have with God, and righteousness is also about access, the empowerment to access God or access His presence. That has to do with righteousness. Because nothing unholy can stand in the presence of God. So God has to grant to us righteousness for us to be able to live before Him. Now, let's look a little bit closer. It says, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." And for us to get a good grasp on what that is, what the breastplate of righteousness is, let us go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at specifically verse 8. But before we look at verse 8, let us pull back from verse 6. In verse 6 it says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others." Let us not sleep as do others. Let us not sleep. Let us not sleep as do others. Don't drop off. Don't get into, you see, when we sleep, we are relaxed, right? And this is something that we should do. We should rest. But there's rest that is no longer rest. There's a rest, there's a sleep that tends to poverty. Yeah? And so God wants us to rest, but doesn't want us to rest in the sense that we lose sense of our environment. God wants you to watch and pray. True? And when he saw his disciples dozing off and sleeping, he says, "Won't you tarry with me at least for 1 hour?" Okay, so there's a place for sleep, but there's a sleep that is not right. And that's a sleep where we lose consciousness of our environment. We are not aware of what's around us. God wants us to be very aware, and says, don't start sleeping like others. Don't become lazy and sluggish and slothful like others. But let us watch and be sober. Be in your right mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Now, generally, that is true. Nowadays, people drink at any time. But in the time that the word is being put together here, this was the idea. People sleep in the night. They get drunk at night. But then it says, but let us who are of the day, not of the dark. You know, I don't know when I'm going to share the word. Last Sunday I was in Toronto, and I talked about the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And I began to define and bring an understanding to what the word of God is calling darkness. And the Lord releasing me to, I will address that here also. Maybe on Christmas Day, maybe some other day, but sometime soon. Anyway, but it says, but let us who are of the day be sober. If you're of the day, in other words, you're of the light, and those who are of the light are those who are walking in love, because the word of God says, if you hate your brother, you are yet in darkness. You are still in darkness. You've not come into the light. And one of the things I shared with the saints in Toronto was this, that forgiveness is only possible in the light. It is not possible in the darkness. Forgiveness is possible in the light, because in the light you are in the kingdom of God. You have accepted who Jesus Christ is. You've acknowledged him. And when you acknowledge who Jesus is, really, you get changed, you get moved from darkness into light. And in that state of light, that's where God forgives you. You cannot be forgiven over here by God when you've not acknowledged who Jesus is. Okay? That's a little bit much, because you don't have too much to plug into right now. But when I do share about it, you'll get it. It says on. It says, putting on the breastplate of what? What did it say? Put, you said righteousness. It says here, breastplate of what? Faith and what? And love. Wow. Ephesians, it tells us, is the breastplate of righteousness. In Thessalonians, it tells us, it is the breastplate of faith and love. And faith works by love. In other words, your righteousness works by love. Your forgiveness is possible because of love. If you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. True? Is that what the Lord said? Is that what he taught us to pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us, who are indebted to us. So, faith and love, and for an helmet, he says, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation is the helmet. He says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But to what? What did he say? But to obtain. Obtain. Wow, that's an interesting word. What does obtain mean? It means that you acquire something. You get something. You collect something. You're picking up on something. But it also means to be preserved. It also means to be preserved by salvation that comes from Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, remember, it says the one that is sleeping should not be sleeping. So what is the difference between this sleep? We wake or sleep. This sleep here is a sleep where you have, it's different from the other sleep, but this sleep here is a sleep where you are basically dead, but you're not dead. because believers really don't die. They go to sleep. They go to a rest state until they are awakened from sleep. Amen? Hallelujah? Okay. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Now that we know that faith, or rather righteousness, is made up of faith and love. Faith in God, who forgives and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness, and love from God. But it's not just love from God, it's our love to God and love towards each other. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, then it says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet, the shoes that you wear, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is a gospel that tells us that the wall of partition between us and God, that which separates us from God, has been removed. God has removed that wall, and now we are both in the same room. Amen? In the same room. Now, when you looked at the tabernacle in the wilderness, you had the outer court, then you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies. And separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies was this thick curtain that the high priest had to go behind to minister to God and bring the sacrifices or the blood to the mercy seat of God at the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies got torn. This thick material was shred, right, boom, cut, torn. And from that very moment, the holy place and the Holy of Holies became the same. It now became the Holy of Holies, not just holy place and Holy of Holies, but now it became Holy of Holies. Now, in the same sense, we have the body, our physical body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We are spirit beings. And if you were to look at those three, this body here is the outer court. The soul is the Holy of Holies. Is the holy place, and your spirit is the Holy of Holies. You see it? Now, when Jesus split that curtain, he made your spirit and your soul one. So now, when we have the mind of the Spirit of God, we have the mind of God. God sees it as the same. Now we can reason together with him. Now we are one with God. Now we have the Spirit of God in us. The Word of God is in us, and that Word of God is quickening us. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Amen? So this gospel of peace is removing the separation of natural things, spiritual things. For the natural man, he thinks natural things, spiritual things. When I go out and I'm driving, that's natural. When I come to church, that's spiritual. When I wear my clothes, that's natural. When I'm praying, that's spiritual. And God doesn't see it that way anymore. Not for you. He sees everything that you do as a spiritual thing. Everything that we do now is a spiritual thing. Driving your car, putting on your clothes, everything that you do is spiritual. For the carnal man who doesn't know God, he has the luxury of separating this is spiritual and this is natural. When I eat my natural food, my hamburger, that's natural. When I eat the word of God, that's spiritual. And God says, no, when you're eating your hamburger, it better be a spiritual thing. Have the mind of God concerning what your choices are, what you're doing, what you're watching, what you're reading. Everything is spiritual. There's no separation anymore, because the gospel of peace removed the wall that separated the natural from the spiritual, but it also separated the wall of God's wrath. God is not angry at me. God is welcoming to me. God is embracing me, and he wants me to embrace him too. Amen? So now because I have this gospel of peace that tells me that God is not angry with me, I can now come boldly by faith and by love. Amen? I have access, and this access I have to take a hold of by faith. That's why the word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians, obtaining salvation. Then it goes on and says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wait a minute. I thought it was the breastplate of righteousness has faith and love. So there's a shield of faith. Yes. There is a shield of faith. Amen. Now, with the shield of faith, we are able to quench every fiery dart. What are these fiery darts? The fiery darts are the darts that the enemy shoots at us. And it is lit with the fires of hell. Okay, now watch this. Do you remember the word of God talking to us in the book of James? Let's go to book of James for a moment. Don't forget this fiery dart. Okay, let's go to the book of James just for some clarification and understanding. In James, let me see here, is it 3 or 4? I'm looking for I'm looking for the tongue. 3. Can't seem to. That's why I like my regular Bible, because I can see my scriptures right away. Come on now. The tongue. Let me look at 4. For some reason, I thought it was in 3. Okay. James, the passage of scripture talking about the tongue. 5? It's chapter 3, right? 3 verse 5? Oh, okay. Thank you for the help. Let me see. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a what? A fire. A walled of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of what? Of hell. So, these fiery darts start there. It's from hell. And the darts are shot at you, shot at me, with a tongue. It's a launching pad that releases venom into lives. The enemy shoots at somebody with a tongue. So when we're talking about the fiery darts of the enemy, one of the fundamental things that we need to look at is that the tongue of people, the tongue of people is part of that fiery dart. And the Bible says that the way to counteract that is by you using your faith. So when somebody says something evil to you or at you, quench it. Quench it with faith. Faith which is connected to the Word of God. If you embrace it, it will destroy you. You use the Word of God and your faith to say, no, that's not me. That's not going to happen to me. You don't keep quiet about it and, you know, start getting angry about it as if your anger is going to stop it. Your anger, when you get angry at evil words spoken at you, you have accepted those evil words. And say it again, just in case you missed what I just said. When you get angry about somebody, just somebody comes and says, you fool, you stupid, you crazy, you nobody, you will never succeed in life, and you start getting all wound up about it, you just accepted it. That's why you got angry. Somebody listening? Don't waste yourself or waste your time getting angry about what people say. That is not to say that there's no place where you can be emotionally connected, but it is, if you're going to exercise any anger, let it be an anger that says, no, that's not me. That's a lie. That will never happen in my life. I reject that. Let that be your anger. But if you say, you're calling me a fool? Me? I'm a fool? I'm a fool? Look at you. Look at you. You just bought it. You're that fool now. You just bought it. You allowed your emotions to be connected to that name, to that word. And that means that dart just pierced through. No. I have a destiny. And God has called me wise. I will make it. I will fulfill my destiny. Death, you cannot have me. No. I'm going to live and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I refuse. I reject that. Mm-mm. No. Yes, you went to school and you're a good doctor. I don't doubt that. But I know a greater doctor. He's a great physician, and he says he's paid the price for my healing. Therefore, I'm going to live. I'm going to live and testify of God's goodness. I reject that lie. For you, it's the truth, but for me, it's a lie. It's a lie because it is not going to take root in my life. It's rejected. It is canceled. Hallelujah. So, don't let the enemy get you emotionally connected to those fiery darts. The enemy is going to shoot it. He's going to shoot it. And most times he might even shoot it with people in your own house. Or shoot it with somebody that you respect, like your teacher, or your boss, or your spouse, or your father, or your mother, your uncle, somebody that's important to you. That's why the Lord says, you know, your enemies can be even in your own house. And the reason that one is dangerous is because you believe this lie that says, they know me. If they know me, I grew up with them and they know me, and this is a person I'm close to, and so she knows me or he knows me. This is my father and he knows me, and so what they said must be the truth. No. I might be acting like that, but that's not me. I'm going to believe what God says. That the God who said, I'm head and not tail, above only and not beneath, I'm going to believe his report. Amen? So it doesn't matter who said it. Might be your pastor that said it. Some spiritual leader that said it. No, if it is not establishing righteousness in your life, and that's what you want, then don't buy into it. Quench it. You quench it with faith. Faith that comes by hearing the word of God. In other words, you quench it with the word of God. It is written. That's what Jesus said. Yeah? Is that what he said? It is written. It is written. And then it is said. Yeah. No. I don't buy that. No, I reject that. Mm-mm. It's a fiery dart. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has just been baptized, affirmed by God. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the first temptation is, if you, the Son of God, turn these stones and make it bread. Guess what? He didn't say, I'm the Son of God, I'll prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. Stone, become bread. Ah, that would be a mistake. That would be a big mistake. Because he says, if you're really the Son of God, turn the stones and make it bread. And for him to try to turn the stone and make it bread would mean that he was struggling with the statement that he heard from his father. This is how sly the devil is. He wants you to prove stuff. You don't have to prove nothing. I am whom God says I am. All I need to believe is what he said. If you're really a man of God, you know, people use statement, if you're really a man of God, If you're really a Christian, you will do this. Let's not go there. I'm not here to prove to you that I'm a Christian by doing something or not doing something. I'm a Christian not because I did something, but because he did something. Amen? I'm righteous because he did something. I'm holy because he did something. I'm saved because he did something. I'm not here to prove anything to you. God says, I am saved when I ask him, if I acknowledge Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I am saved. I've acknowledged him. I believe that he came and he died for me, and that settles it. I'm not saved because of all the nice things I've done. If that was the case, the thief at the cross is not saved, but he's saved because he acknowledged who Jesus is. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to be careful about the fiery darts of the enemy. Now I'm simplifying it by bringing us to an understanding of the fact that the fiery darts of the enemy can come through people. The fiery darts of the enemy also come through thought processes. You know, the enemy will shoot a thought into your mind, and again, be ready to separate yourself from the thoughts of the enemy. When he brings an image, flashes an image in your mind and wants you to think in a particular way, don't sit there and meditate on it. Reject it. You know, people just, you know, somebody says something to you and you don't get upset right away, and you go away, you're busy doing something, and you start all of a sudden, you reconnect yourself to what was said and you start meditating on it, and your temperature starts rising, your blood pressure starts rising, your face starts contracting, and all kinds of crazy things start happening, and now you want to kill somebody. You want to fight somebody. Oh, why? Because you're meditating on that. The Word of God didn't tell you to meditate on stuff that people said. It says meditate on the Word of God. And use the Word of God to counteract whatever the enemy is trying to say, whatever the enemy is trying to do. You spend your time meditating on evil thoughts, and they will grow, and they will prosper, and it will cause you major pain. That's how it goes. Remember what we're talking about? In the realm of the spirit, there's no longer spiritual things, natural things. All of it is all spiritual now. So I will act like this at work and then act like this at church. It doesn't work that way. Wherever you are, God is. I was in Toronto yesterday, and I was somewhere. I was just leaving this particular place, and I walked past a young man. He's there, busy smoking. This young man just smoking. I walked past him. The Lord says to me, "Go back and tell him to go back to university, and that he should take engineering." So I walked back to him. I said to him, "This is in a mall. He's outside in the mall smoking." So I walked back to him and I said, "Hello. You should go back to university, and you should take engineering." And he says, "Why engineering?" I said, "Forget about why engineering. Just do it." He threw his smokes down and looked at me, because something struck him. As soon as I told him that, go back to university and take it's like he had dropped out of university, and I came there and I told him he needs to go back to university and go to, it was not in a church. I wasn't preaching. You didn't have to get special anointing. it's all the same. It's all the same. You know, I was with my grandson, actually at one of the malls 2 years ago, and picking up some stuff. I see these three young people. I go to them. I said to, I think I must have told this story. I said, you're going to be a politician. Huh? I'm studying political science in university. I said, oh, that's all right. You're fine. you're fine. I went to the other one and I told, you are supposed to do medicine. Who? How did you know that? That's what I'm studying. I said, you're on the right path. It's okay. And I talked to the other one. Now the other one is there, and am I going to get a word too? But I didn't have to tell them, you know, the Lord said. I just had to speak to them in a language they will understand right away. Boom, boom, boom. Well, the same is true for every one of us. Amen? You don't have to be spiritual in church and unspiritual somewhere else. You are spiritual all the time. You are tuned in all the time. You're a child of God. Amen? Online all the time. And God rings your phone. Your battery is not dead. It rings. You can pick up and hear what God has to say. Hallelujah. Okay? So, please get this, because remember what I said at the very beginning. I've said this for years now. All spiritual warfare is about what? Decisions. Decisions. And so the decision here is, I'm going to hear God. I'm going to listen to God. I am going to stop putting my life in compartments. This is spiritual. This is natural. No, it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. Everything I do is spiritual. If I'm in the mall, it's a spiritual thing. If I'm driving, it's a spiritual thing. If I'm eating, it's a spiritual thing. If I'm wearing clothes, it's a spiritual thing. Everything is spiritual. Now, when I say everything is spiritual, you know, God can decide what you need to wear. Yeah? Because it's a spiritual thing. But if he doesn't say anything, wear whatever it is you want to wear, because you've got the mind of Christ. Praise God. So you don't sit down there and say, Lord, if I don't hear from you, I'm not going to go to church today. What clothes am I going to wear? I don't know. Wake up and smell the coffee. Just get something. If God doesn't like it, he will tell you. Not that. And he knows what you need to do. He really does. You know, so many times I want to kick myself because God told me something and I didn't listen. And then I found out why. Oh, that's why. I didn't think this, but he knew this was going to happen, and he wanted me to do this, and so on and so forth. So just plug into God and see that everything that you're doing is spiritual. You're in university studying psychology. It's a spiritual thing. You're doing math. It's a spiritual thing. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It's spiritual. Because you're a believer, you're a child of God. It's all spiritual for you now. Amen? When you see that, it will help you. It will help me make the right decisions. What I want to look at, what I want to say. Should I say this? Shouldn't I say it? You know, should I watch this or shouldn't I watch it? It's a spiritual thing. Well, let's stop there today. We didn't go too far, but hopefully we went far enough. It's going to take a while to finish chapter 6. I can tell you that now. Because there's so much there. Well, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for grace and for mercy. We're thankful, O God, that you are God who keeps us, who leads us, who directs us. And Lord, O God, we ask, O God, for more grace to make the right decisions every day. Lord, O God, on what we eat, what we drink, what we listen to, what we look at, where we go, how we carry ourselves. But Lord, O God, at every step of the way, that an understanding that whatever it is that we're doing is spiritual and therefore has spiritual consequences and spiritual ramifications. And because we do know this, we make the choices that will be edifying that will be glorifying to you, that will be pathways of righteousness, holiness, purity. Lord, we walk with a breastplate of righteousness, with a helmet of salvation, with a belt of truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Make us, O God, men and women that are driven to making certain that those around us hear this uncompromised gospel. And because of it, O God, serve you with a pure heart. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.